lesson for today is from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What do you think is the one thing that everyone wants? Is it money? Fame? Power? Charisma? Well, I think people do want these things, but there's something else, something intangible almost, a desire that most of us feel almost instinctively. We might not even be able to put it into words, but I think we all feel it. In West Side Story, which you all know probably either as a play or as a movie, and is an adaptation of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the lovers Tony and Maria sing this song. Somewhere there's a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. Peace and quiet and open air. Close your eyes and I'll take you there. Somewhere. Their relationship is one that is opposed by all of their friends because she is Puerto Rican and he is Anglo. These two groups are already at odds. And when Tony and Maria fall in love, well, you just know that things are going to come to a bad end. And so they sing this special place that can be theirs, and theirs alone, somewhere that they can live freely and openly without fear. And now while most of us don't live lives as dramatic as Tony and Maria, there's one thing that I think the rest of us have in common with them, the desire for a special place, a place where we can each be ourselves and live openly as who we are, and where we're known as our own true selves. The 80s sitcom Cheers was based on the idea that sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name and you're always glad you came. We all want and need that special place, a place that we can call home. For some of the people, it's the house we grew up in, the house we live in. For others, it's a pub or a bar. For others, it's church. But everyone, I believe, needs that special place, that place to call home. One definition of home that I've read says that home is that place that, when you go there, they have to take you in. Our desire, our basic human need, is to be known for who we are and loved for who we are and to have a special place where we can go and just be. In our scripture for today, we see that for the disciples, Jesus is a home. Jesus has drawn these people together, has taken them in, people from different backgrounds and different walks of life. He's taken them in and he knows and loves them for who they are. Even Simon, who becomes Peter, the rock, the stubborn one who always thinks he knows best. Even Thomas, who questions everything he can't see with his own eyes. Maybe even Judas, the betrayer. These men, along with many other men and women, found their home, their special place in Jesus. But part of having a special place is that the people there, the people who love you and whom you love, always count on them to tell you the truth. And Jesus says this with the disciples over and over again, even in the face of their disbelief. In this passage from John, Jesus tells his followers, that he's going on ahead of them, and that he will prepare a place for them. A place in the Father's house. A place where there are already many rooms. He even says that the disciples already know the way to this place. But it seems to his followers, especially Thomas, that once again he's speaking in riddles. How can they know where he's going and how to get there? But Jesus knows that his place is with the Father, God the Father, and that he will soon go there. He's inviting the disciples to join him later because their place is with him. So this is what he tells them. The way is through me, through following me, through doing what I do, through loving God and neighbor enough to give up your all for them. Why do you suppose that the disciples decided to follow him in the first place? Because they saw a chance to have something special, to know somebody, someplace special. They saw or had heard of the love that Jesus had for everyone around him, the power of love he had. Made it possible for him to heal the sick, to drive out demons. They, like everyone else, are looking for that one place to call home, where they will be called by name and loved and accepted for who they are. And that's what we all want, really. Somewhere to call home. Somewhere to be known and loved and accepted for who we are. Somewhere that when we show up, we are taken in, no matter where we've been, or how long we've been away, or what we've done with it. As Christians, we might think of two categories when we imagine our special place. The first is the place mentioned by Jesus in our scripture passage, Father God's house, our eternal home, our chance at a perfect and unending relationship with God. Now, that is a special place. I mean, it just doesn't get any more special than that, does it? But that special place is difficult, if not impossible, for us to imagine, I think. I think that might be why many people might reject the idea of heaven and hell. They're just too unimaginable, too far off seeming for us to be able to imagine ourselves in either place. We need to be able to hold on to this idea, though, because that's our ultimate reward, right? That's what we are looking ahead to. But the other thing we need is a special earthly place, the place that strengthens us for the journey, that takes us through life until our time comes to go to our eternal home, to go to be with God. We might find this place with a group of special friends. We might find it at work, at school, with our families, in clubs. Our special place might even change from time to time as we grow and change over time. But ultimately, we do need that place where everyone knows our name and they're always glad to see us. And they'll always take us in. And sometimes the church can be that special place. In fact, I think churches should be one of those places where we're loved and accepted for who we are. And I must say, you all seem to do a very good job of that. We can be a place where everyone knows each other's name, and where we're always glad to see each other. When we come here, we're taken in. We're loved. But for too many people today, church has no meaning, or has a negative meaning or feeling to them. We've seen church membership declining for a while now. We've seen churches splitting over things like worship styles, human sexuality, and basic understandings experience of what it means to be a Christian, sometimes even a report of the heart. Besides that, it's more acceptable to mock our church than it used to be, isn't it? At least in our memory, at one time, as we all know, going to church was what you did. It was the mainstream thing to do, the social thing to do, the acceptable thing to do. We're here at church right now, and out here in the community, people are at the coffee shop, and they're at sporting events, and they're in their gardens, and they're at work, and many other places and activities that don't involve being in church. And they might even be believers in God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But they're not in church. They're somewhat everywhere else. And even among regular churchgoers, skipping a Sunday anymore is no big deal. In fact, being a regular church member, churchgoer, used to mean going to church, if not every Sunday, then at least 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. Today, being a regular churchgoer means being at church 1 to 2 Sundays a month. It's kind of amazing to me. But that's what they say. That's what the statisticians tell us. I mean, a lot of you all are better than the norm, so, period. But it just isn't as big a deal as it used to be in modern church. But I think that what we're finding is that there are more ways for people to feel at home in Christ than just by coming to worship on Sunday morning. People find Christ in Bible studies, while walking the labyrinth, while serving a meal to the homeless, while building a habitat house, while visiting with a group of friends in a weekly gathering, even if it's just for fellowship, while raising money for water meters that will help bring clean water to households in a country many miles from our own community. If what we do is in the name of Christ to follow the example that he lived, we will find Christ in service to others, fellowship, living out Christ's love and compassion for others. We will find our place in Christ whenever, wherever we do. And I think that we will find as Christianity goes forward that our ideas of what it means to belong to a church will continue to evolve. That belonging won't just mean membership on a membership roll, but acceptance of values and practices that are authentic to the vision that was cast by Jesus to his disciples. I don't know what that would look like, and that makes it a little unnerving for me, because I have grown up in church as well, and I have my ideas of what membership and belonging mean. And it may be unnerving for you all too. But I have to trust that the basic truths are still the basic truths. That we are loved by Jesus Christ as the Father loved Jesus. That there is a place for us when it is our time